The Christmas Story. How would you explain it? How would you picture Christmas if you could frame it?
The Nativity,
right? Shepherds watching their flocks by night. Wise men trekking whilst tracking a sat-nav starlight with Mary and Joseph, humbled by the sight of little baby Jesus tucked in tight. That's Christmas, right? Propped up with straw and reeds and a tray of animal feed and cushioned in. Hey, I know it sounds quite cosy and nice. Reality was, there was no room for the little guy on that Bethlehem night. He kept in a cradle. Animals as roommates. I'm not trying to pick holes in the state of the place. I'm just saying the way they were staying was just short of space. I mean, talk about entrance. His birth from a dress meant Jesus literally arrived in the mess. But less about the birthplace and the state of the floor. I mean, it's more to the Christmas story than the deck of straw. Flip forward 8 days. In the temple, this little guy's the reason for praise. From the lips of a guy called Sim, who's in his old age. For years, Sim waited in anticipation, but then the old met the new. My eyes have seen your salvation, the newborn Jesus, from messy manger to a passing of the baton just 8 days later. Seeing the mess of the birth comes a new age, and what's more, the birth was foretold in a mess age. Which brings us back to the cast. At the nativity set, you see, it was a message that guided their stable footsteps. An angel postman popped round, said Mary'd found favour, a save the date declaration, you'll give birth to the saviour. He'd be son of the Most High, born through the Spirit, heir to David's throne, his reign without limit to Joseph. Call him Jesus, he really will bless, cause he came to save people from all their mess. To the shepherds, he's here to rescue. That's why he's come. The reason for good news of joy, he's the one. As for the wise men, they figured the news. They gave gifts and paid homage to little King of the Jews. See, God brought the message, so they entered the mess to see Jesus' arrival at the nativity set. But let's back up a sec. See, this rhetoric rings a bell. Back in the day, Isaiah waxed lyrical about a future Emmanuel, God with us, one who'd be central to the story of forgiveness. So zoom out from the Christmas postcard, a message 700 years prior. He'll be a light to the searchers that spread salvation, says Isaiah. See, the angel's news, it wasn't new. In fact, these nativity messages echoed God's promises right through the ages. These messages read Jesus speaking hope to the earth, predicting his arrival centuries before the birth. Thing is, when Christmas comes round, maybe there's a danger that we go Pinterest with Christmas and just pin up the manger in the nativity scene. It's like rating a whole film by watching one scene or thinking you know a novel because you had a quick look. So you get the whole story by skim reading one page in a book. And what I said before, about him born in the mess and the deck out of straw, maybe it could also be a metaphor for all the mistakes, all the messiness in life and what that creates, all the stuff in this world that just doesn't sit right. There was a reason he was born on that first Christmas night. He was born in the mess to make the wrong right. He's the message of hope. Because out of the mess, saw God news birth that will certainly bless. Frame the stable, sure, but don't miss the picture. It was a message declared since the beginning of Scripture. A war in the mess, but there's only one victor. A heel bruised, but be good news for sure. The very promise became flesh in that deck out of straw. See, from the mess comes a message, and there's none that is higher. Because what follows the mess is I-A-H, mess, I am.
Good evening. Welcome to worship this evening as we approach Christmas Day. And first, we'll just light the candles again. The candle that reminds us, the candle of hope, the first Sunday of Advent. A reminder of the assurance, the promise that God has given us in Christ Jesus. That hope and that assurance that in him There is salvation for all those who believe. There is salvation. Second candle was the candle of peace. The peace which is the shalom, the deep peace of Jesus Christ. The deep peace that comes from being in that relationship with Him. The deep peace that we can sink into from any part of the mess that we ever find ourselves in our lives. The third candle was the candle of joy. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was a candle of joy. And the ability to be able to rejoice in that salvation that Jesus Christ brings for us. To be able to rejoice in a relationship with God. To be able to rejoice in all that that means. Even in the mess, even in the difficult times, that we can still rejoice that Christ Jesus has come and has brought salvation for us. And the candle from yesterday, the fourth candle, the candle of love, a reminder of the love story, which I'll speak about later, which starts with creation and goes on way past through Revelation into eternity. And later on in the service, we'll light the Jesus candle, the Christ candle. As we take the time this evening just to give thanks to God for all that He's done through Christ Jesus, we take the time to find a space to connect with our God. Let's sing together, Silent Night. Join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly and Holy Father, we come before You this evening. We bow before You. We come to worship You, to glorify You, to give you all the honour and the praise and the blessings. For you are our God, our Father, our Creator, our Lord God Almighty. And Father, as we worship you tonight, we give you thanks for all that you have done. The one who has created us. The one who longs to be in relationship with us. The one who longs to continue to love us and to be loved by us. Father, you're the one who walks beside us. The one who's promised to be with us even to the end of the age. Father, as we praise you tonight, as we pray, we come and we celebrate a special time, a time of promise, a time of salvation. Time where we can be with you and in you and around you. You can be within us. And as we pray, Father, we come to repent. We come to turn from the ways that we've been. Come to turn from the times when we've walked away from you, the times when we've ignored your word. We come to turn fully back to you. And Lord, as we confess these things to you, we give you thanks, for we know that in the love story, we know that your Son Jesus lives amongst your people. Dies for your people. Buried and rises again. Defeating death. Bringing forgiveness. And then he ascends to be with you. To come again. To rule and reign over us. So Father, as we confess those things that we need to confess, we seek your forgiveness. The forgiveness that frees us. The forgiveness that releases us from the things that tie us to this earth, that lift us up to that relationship with you by your Holy Spirit, Father, present with us now. Lead us, guide us, free us, release us to be your disciples, your followers, your children. And hear us as we sum up our prayers by using the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen. Away in a manger, let's worship him. Read from the Old Testament, from Isaiah in chapter 9. Listen, each one, for the word of God. Imagine we start at verse 1, so that's just a wee bit before this starts. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word, and to him be all glory, honour and praise. You know, it's that scripture from Isaiah tells, it's a real prophecy of what was to come. And as we look back at that, and I'm just going to have to put that out the road because it's now just telling me the wrong things. As we look back at that prophecy, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, it's actually about the light. And we know that Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. And but actually, before we get to that point, when we go back to the start of the whole story, we go back to Genesis, the beginning of the scripture, the beginning of time, the beginning when God and all of God, the Word, His Spirit, all together begin the creation story. And we know that Jesus was there, well, the Word was there. From John 1, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is a light, cannot be put out. But there in that creation story, the beginning of the love story, and God in creation creates Adam and Eve and sets them in that beautiful place, that garden, that paradise, that Eden. And I know I've said this before, but it's a stunning piece of scripture. When we start to reflect on it, the fact that in the cool of the evening, God would come to the garden to walk with Adam and Eve, to spend time with them in a relationship. It's part of the love story. See the love story that develops right at the very start. And then we know the story, Adam and Eve eat of the fruit, and we could spend so much time deciding whether it was Eve's fault or Adam's fault or the serpent's fault. But you know, it doesn't matter. It happened. And that relationship became broken. And God had to banish Adam and Eve from that special place. It's not just about that special place, it's about that walk in the cool of the evening. Suddenly, that couldn't happen anymore. Suddenly, it just wasn't allowed to happen anymore. And as we look at scripture, we see how it plays out through the Old Testament, where the people will call on God to get them out the mess, the mire they find themselves in, because they've turned from Him. And God sends someone and sorts it all out, because He loves His people. And they get back into the right place for a moment, and then they're off, worshipping someone else, following some other god, some other leader that takes them into darkness, where the light has already been with them, and they walk away from that. And then they get themselves into trouble, and they call on God. God sends a deliverer, and He releases them, and He brings them back to, or tries to bring them back to Himself. And they're off again because they think it's okay. They're away again. They're going their own way. They're following their own gods. They're picking on the things that they want to see and want to be with. They want to hear about so-and-so, and following other leaders, other gods. Their attention's diverted from God, their Father, their Creator. And off they go, and they find themselves into more bother. And God even sends prophets to tell them. We see that in Jonah, a lovely story, that great story of Jonah. God wants to send to Nineveh to warn them that unless they change, they'll be destroyed. And of course, Jonah doesn't want to go there because he doesn't like them. And he knows that if he goes and delivers the message, that they will turn towards God again and be saved. And of course, eventually, Jonah goes to Nineveh. But God sends other prophets and the people turn on them. God's people, God's messengers, God's prophets are killed, murdered by the people they're sent to warn and save and deliver. And then we get to this time where unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Well, here's Jesus. This is the love story continuing. Love story is this final sacrifice, this final act where God gives of himself. He gives everything. The Word was there in the beginning, and the Word becomes flesh. God sends his Son as a baby. He sends his Son as a baby. And I just love it. We're getting the tones of a baby in the background. Thank you. Don't think they'll appreciate it yet. You know, God sends a baby, and Jesus arrives. And we do think about our nativity scene, our stable scene, as something nice and clean, and it's not. It's a place where the animals feed, that place where the animals sleep and do all sorts of other things as well. It's a place which is messy. It's a place, it's not designed for human beings to live in, but that's what happens, for there's no guest room available for them. And in that message, angels appear to people. People come to see what's happening, the shepherds. But it's in the mess. Jesus is born in the mess of people's lives. He's born in the mess of our lives, because God's had to do something yet again to save his people. And this is the once and for all. That love story that continues, that Jesus will grow as a man. And he touches people. And he heals people. And he upsets people. Because it's not as they would want it. It doesn't fit into their story. Despite the fact it's been prophesied, it doesn't happen. They don't want it there. They don't expect it there. It gets in their road. But this is part of the love story. And to continue that love story, actually, Jesus dies on the cross. He's betrayed. He's humiliated. He's hung on a cross. He dies. But he rises again, not for his own good, but for our good. This is part of the love story. Part of the love story we cannot forget on Christmas evening. Because this is all fits, it's where it takes us. And Jesus ascends to be with the Father. And then if we're to go through Scripture, and find ourselves in Revelation, where we were yesterday morning, we find that this is the part of the love story where the bride comes, or the groom comes for the bride, the church. And blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast. The people, us, were chosen, elected, invited to be in the wedding feast, the love story. For me, tonight is a time not just to think about Jesus as that baby, not just as the baby, but actually his lifetime on earth, and then all that time before that and after that. where we begin to realize that this baby is our Savior. He is our salvation as he grows and he gives of himself. Fully man, fully divine, gives for himself, of himself for us, and earns us our salvation. But he dies for us. And we can rejoice in all that. We know the hope that comes from that. We know the peace that can come from that. Despite the mess that we live in, we have the peace, the hope, the joy, and the love that comes out of that relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, who is given to us, a gift from God. And so tonight, as we think about the gifts that God gives us, it's all out of a love story. And it all comes because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so those who would believe would not perish but have eternal life. The minister in Dundee I worked with for many years, and he said to me, I won't even try and repeat his Irish accent, but he said to me, Dave, there's only one sermon. There is only ever one sermon, and it's John 3:16. So that his sentence I said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who would believe would not perish but have eternal life. That's it. That's a sermon. That's a love story. We remember nothing else. Jesus Christ, God was given, God gave of Jesus Christ of himself for each one of us because he loves us. And he wants us to be with him and in relationship with him. And this is a night to remember the start of that new covenant, that new way, that sacrifice once and for all that's given to us as a baby. Not as a huge conqueror, but as a baby. To grow with us, to be with us, to give of himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for all that you've given us. And Lord, tonight, from the mess of our own lives, would we know Jesus Christ in our hearts, given for each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Love came down at Christmas. Let's worship God. Love came down at Christmas. Love divine. A few minutes just to pray for others, But before that, I just want to go through one or two things that suddenly jumped into my head. We worship here again at 10:30 in the morning, Christmas morning. If you're able, I don't know if I'm able to get up at that time anymore, having been here. But if you're able, it'll be lovely to see you. And if you can bring a gift. So I never play with the gifts. I watched somebody play with a child's gift and it broke. So I never play. I get the children to demonstrate the gift. Show me what happens. But however, it's a great time. Just a time and some carols and we'll share together. On Sunday morning, being a fifth Sunday in a month, we worship, our shared worship will be down at our dear church at 10:30. And I always get this, but I'm going to apologise in advance because I've not managed to say the BYOBS bit properly. Bring your own bowl and spoon. We're having soup and sandwiches during the service. As part of the service, it'll all become clear on Sunday morning. But it's easier if you bring your own soup bowl and spoon, and I managed to say it, get myself tongue-tied in that. Bring your own soup bowl and spoon. We'll have some, but actually, it's far better if you just bring your own. I'm going to bring a big pot that size. But it's a time to share together and be together. And then, of course, once we get into the new year, the service times just swap over, so we'll start worshipping at our dear at 10 o'clock and here at 11:30. That's from the 6th of January. I've got that bit right, haven't I? Yes, I have. Whew. So that's kind of where we are. Let's just take a wee moment in prayer and just pray for other people. There'll be a wee gap that if you're wanting something on your mind that you want to pray, you can pray. If you want to call a name out, you can call a name out. I'll just have a wee bit of silence in the prayer. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we worship you this evening, we come and we give you thanks for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to be together to worship you. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit present with us now, who leads us and guides us and inspires us in our prayer. We pray for your world, though. We pray especially for the people around Indonesia who are suffering from the tsunami, the hundreds who have been killed, the many more who have been injured, the people that have lost everything. Father, for them and for many people in this world, Christmas Day will be a day of mess and chaos. Father, we give you thanks that tomorrow can be a day of rejoicing, a day of fun, a day of being together, of family. But we also remember, Lord, that for many people, it's a lonely day. For many, it's a first Christmas since a loved one died or a relationship broke. For some, they're facing it jobless now. Worry of money and how they're going to survive. Some depending on food banks and handouts. And so, Lord, as we pray for them. And we ask a blessing on them that even in the mess and the chaos of their lives, they would know you. They would know the hope and the peace, the joy and the love that comes from you through Jesus Christ. So, Father, in the silence now, We pray. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember. Forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. O come, all you faithful. Let's worship him as we come into Christmas Day. Now may this Christmas morn, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, all those whom you love, all those whom you struggle to love, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Amen. Merry Christmas. Please take a time just to share that Christmas with each other. Merry Christmas, Alan.